Everyone have a good Thanksgiving. Some of you look like maybe you had a little too much turkey still in that little haze that happens afterward. How many of you went out of town over the holiday? Okay. How many of you had guests from out of town over? And how many of you were just hanging? All right. Well, good. I should let you know in advance, we're having some technical issues, so we're going to do our best to roll. I would appreciate lots and lots of prayers from me this morning that the Holy Spirit might speak to me and speak through me and speak to each of us together as we finish this series on the book of James. And how many of you have enjoyed the series of the book of James? You just kind of have to say that, because if you don't enjoy it, then that looks really bad, right? Well, I'm going to get some great assistance from our tech team just in advancing some slides this morning. But today is the last day of the book of James. And next week we're going to start a new series. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But this has been, it's been exciting for me because probably more than any other book of the Bible, the book of James is so practical. And hence we call the series Practical Christianity, with emphasis on the ACT. Because too often I find that people, well, we read the Bible and we think it says really nice things and nice inspiring things. And then we kind of set it on the shelf and then go about our everyday lives. But the message of Scripture, and particularly the message of James, is that we need to act on it. That if we just read it, it doesn't do us any good if we don't do what it says. And so we're going to wrap up James talking about prayer this morning. And before we do, let's just take a moment and pray together, shall we? God, I think this morning just about the song that we've sung, about how we stand in awe of you. You are beyond description. You are beyond anything that we can imagine. And I pray that this morning we would just have a greater glimpse into who you are, into your character, into what it means to know you and experience your presence and your power in everyday life. That we would not just merely go about our day and our week like everyone else around us, but we would have a joy and we would have a hope and we'd have a peace. That we would live lives differently as a result of your word transforming our hearts and our minds, as a result of your Holy Spirit coming and filling us. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come right now. Fill me, fill each of us. Open our hearts and our ears to be attentive to what you want to say at this time and this hour to prepare us for the days to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart please you, my God. In Christ's name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5. We're going to look at this final chapter together, actually the second half. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, it says, "If any of you is in trouble, is any of you in trouble, he should pray." Are any of you in trouble this morning? Some of you are like, I don't know. What does that really mean? Well, let me tell you, in the Greek, the word, it really means, are you struggling? Is there a difficulty? Is there something in your life that's really challenging you? In some cases, it may be a sickness. It may be a broken relationship. It may be just stress or a job or finances. It could be any number of different things. But are you in trouble? I happen to think that most of the people that are most in trouble this morning probably aren't even here. Maybe they're dealing with troubles in other places. And certainly a number of people in our culture, the vast majority, are in trouble whether they realize it or not. They would never even consider spending an hour on Sunday in the presence of a holy God. He should pray, it says. He should pray. Have you, any of you ever been in trouble and you decided to pray? You often see in the movies, in deep, dire trouble. They're hanging from the edge of a cliff or something. And then they're like, God, if you're there, will you help me? And I always love it when people, they make promises to God, right? You always see that. Even atheists, You know, the plane crash. Oh, God, I've never talked to you before, but I really need your help right now. And before this plane goes down, well, if you get me safely, then I'll go to church next Sunday, or I'll convert to Christianity or something. People go through all these crazy, desperate things. But what James is really saying, Jesus is half-brother. He's saying, if any of you is in trouble, you need to pray. And it seems like we're fairly comfortable with the idea of praying in the midst of trouble. That's when we often talk to God. Tragically, it seems like often that's the only time we talk to God. But more than talking to God, the word prayer and the idea of prayer is really much more than this one-way SOS cry out for help. Because what God wants more than anything else from you, more than anything else, is He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. That's what He wants. More than you being perfect, more than you going to church on Sunday, more than you giving lots of money away or memorizing scripture or helping old ladies across the street. What He really wants from you is you and a relationship with you. And prayer is talking with God. And too often, we turn prayer into this one-way dialogue. Or maybe it's kind of segmented. We sort of listen through the Bible and then we just holler up prayers and hope they're heard. But there's so much more that God wants. And He wants so much more than just SOS prayers as well. I'm a dad, so I've learned a lot of things about God and the Heavenly Father by becoming a dad. Things I never knew otherwise. And I know a lot of you in this room are dads and you can appreciate this. And moms as well. If you're not a mom or dad, well, just bear with me. Take my word for it. I love to spend time with my kids. In fact, we had all three of them together over the holidays, which was wonderful, especially since we were apart last year. And just to sit at a table together with some friends and family and look into the eyes of my kids and to talk to them and do fun things and hang out. I just love to be with my kids. Now, if my only relationship with my kids happened to be when they wanted something, Dad, can I have, Dad, will you, Dad, come here, I need a, at some point, do you think I would get a little tired of that? Just a little bit. At some point, I want to relate to my kids more than just as their Santa Claus. More than just, you know, the dad that just gives them stuff all the time, just there to serve. And I love to serve my kids, but I love to know them. I love when they talk to me. I love when they share their hopes and dreams with me. I love when they say kind things to me and show appreciation. I love when we just hang out and do stuff together. And that's what prayer is all about. In fact, it continues on. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. James is saying prayer is more than just asking for stuff. We prayed together through music this morning. I don't know if any of you recognize that, but that was prayer. It was prayer that was set to music, but it was a way to lift our hearts up to God and just pour out our hearts to Him. And maybe some of you are saying, well, but I didn't write these songs. These words don't express my heart. Well, they might not. Most of the time when I sing songs, I think, this is what I want to be able to say. It may not be true of my life, but this is what I want to do. You've all, like, probably, well, most of you. Have any of you purchased a card in like a Hallmark store? I know it's kind of old now because everything's all electronic and we just go online and buzz some little electronic note. But every once in a while, people actually use pen and paper still. And they go and they look at those little cards. I doubt any of you have ever written a Hallmark card. But you find the perfect card and you say, this is what I want to express to this person. And then you give it to them. And that's often what singing and music can do is these aren't words that we've crafted. A lot of times they're actually words that were crafted thousands of years ago by biblical authors. But we say, this fits what I want to say to you, God. So as we talk about prayer, we can ask for stuff, but we can also praise if we're happy, if we're grateful. And this is a great time of year to sing songs of praise, not only your traditional songs that we sing, but now we're getting into a season where probably the only time of year it's safe to sing about God in these Christmas carols. Yeah, we'll get some Santa in there too. But it's great just to hear the old, beautiful songs that talk about our great God and King. Oh, come, let us adore Him. The next verse says, is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Is that pretty clear? Do we need a lot of interpretation about this? That's what I love about James. He's just so simple, so forthright, and so clear. Now, some have said that this word sick really refers to sickness caused by sin. And a lot of times we're sick not because an earthquake just suddenly ravished our body or something out of control took place. A lot of times we're sick and find ourselves in trouble because of things that we've done. Maybe the way that we haven't cared for our body or places that we've gone or people that we've encountered. There's a lot of ways that people get sick, and often it's from sin. Now, I don't quite agree with the commentators that say this is only referring to sin-filled sickness. But in a moment, you'll see where there's some possibility there's a connection there. But regardless, there's an opportunity here at SIO for you to receive prayer if you are sick. And at the end of our time this morning, we're going to create some space and some time, and the elders will be available to pray for you if you are sick. This may be a physical sickness, maybe it's emotional, financial, relational, spiritual, whatever kind of sickness. There's power in prayer. And I know we've all heard that before, but sometimes it's easy to think, well, God doesn't really answer prayer anymore, right? That was like in the olden days. But friends, I want to tell you that there is great power in prayer because God loves to give good gifts to His children. God loves to respond, and He doesn't always heal exactly when and how we ask Him to. But He's good. He can be trusted. And we have not often because we ask not. I want to invite Tom to come up and share a quick story. Happened a couple weeks ago. I have to say, it encouraged me greatly. Come on up, Tom. Why don't you just share what happened?
Well, a couple weeks ago when we had our walk through the Bible thing, I woke up that day with a misery in my back, as my mom would used to say. And, you know, it's something that I've had off and on for years. It's been pretty debilitating. And I got a little bit discouraged because I thought I really wanted to be here and go through this thing. And before the meeting started, I had mentioned it to Kirk, and then suddenly they dragged me into his office. And there was Kirk and Byron, the presenter, and Debbie and so on. And they just spontaneously prayed for my back problem. And you know, within a few minutes and through the day, the whole thing just kind of eased out. It didn't follow its usual pattern of days of misery and dealing with it. And I was able to be here and enjoy the day, you know. And I've had many illnesses, things I've prayed for that didn't get healed in a timely way or haven't been healed yet. But it's... when God does something like that, I don't know, He just touches you at the right moment, and whatever it is, like a little thing like that, a little back problem, it's enough, you know. And I don't know how to explain it any better, but it was just a grace of God, and it just made me feel His presence and allowed me to enjoy a day being with Him. So.
Great. Yeah, give it up for God. Now, in that story, no one got raised from the dead and no blind person started seeing or the lame walking. But friends, God is real and He wants to do so much more. I feel like we have this ceiling on our faith and this ceiling that says, well, God might do something, but I just want to rip the lid off and expect great things from God. Any of you feel that way, or am I the only one? Like, I put God in this little box, and I said, well, my prayers are so lame sometimes. Like, God, if you're able, well, I guess you're able, but I don't know if I really believe, and so, okay. I have a confession to make. 2 weeks ago, after we were done, Tom came up to me and he said, "Hey, I just want to thank you so much for praying for me. I felt so good all morning long. I got healed." And I was like, "You did? Wait, how did that happen?" I mean, all of a sudden my brain started doing these sort of tricks, because I thought, well, why am I surprised? Why are we surprised when God shows up? Why are we surprised when God answers prayer? There's nothing more He loves to do. I love to do things for my kids. In fact, I will do just about anything for my kids because I just love them. I love them. Now, I don't always say yes. You know, I'm going out for ice cream at 2 a.m. It's not necessarily my idea of a good time on a school night. Well, it might be my idea of a good time. I don't know if I want that for my kids. So sometimes I'll say no, or sometimes I'll say later. But God wants to give good gifts to His children. I said sometimes sickness is a result of sin. Sometimes it's a result of spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's just, literally, it's just waiting for prayer to snuff it out. There's a lot of reasons why we're sick. I'm not here to diagnose whatever illnesses you have. But I'm here to say we need to pray. And if you would like prayer this morning, we're going to do that at the conclusion of our service. I was going to interrupt right now and have people come forward, but I know some of you would be kind of put off by that and embarrassed or whatever. So we're going to wait till the end. But we're going to put this verse into practice. And I want you to know that if ever you would like the elders to pray for you for anything, we are here to serve you and to pray for you on a moment's notice. And you can contact any of us. In fact, real quick, can we just have the elders stand up that are here? Not everyone is here, but just some of you might not even know who the elders are. So Tom Gibson, Jonathan Hirschman, and Bill Rittinger are here this morning. Scott Verna and Ben Muto are other two elders. And it's important for you all to know who they are and how you can reach them. We are all together. I serve on the elders, and we are all here to serve you and to pray for you and to bless you. Let's continue. Verse 15. It says, "The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." You can see the connection, the possible sin and spiritual connection here. Although, like I say, I don't believe it's necessarily restricted to sinful sicknesses. But the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. It's not the oil. It's not how long the prayers are. It's not how fancy the prayers are. It's about faith. It's about believing. Now, some have taken this to an extreme, and they said, if you pray and you're not healed, it's your fault. You don't have enough faith. If you just had enough faith, you could stand up and dance. If you just had enough faith, you'd be rich and drive a Mercedes like me. Let's take an offering. If you just had enough faith, and they go through this whole spiel, and you feel like a little faithless person. Friends, faith is from God. It's a gift from God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God and see the truth of His Word, and all of a sudden it increases our faith. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we study. That's why we seek to know God, to see how great He is, and all of a sudden our faith starts to grow because we realize we don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a little God. We serve a great and powerful and awesome Almighty God who is able to do exceedingly more than we can ever ask or dream or imagine. That's my God. And I say so often, "Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Increase my faith. Help me to see that You are bigger than I have put You in, than the box that I've put You in." The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Continues, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us," says in 1 John. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. Wow, is that a good verse? How many of you like that one? If we ask whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. But what's the phrase in there? What's the key phrase? According to His will, right? See, if we ask anything in the will of God, He's going to do His will. He's always going to do His will. So we have to know, "God, what is Your will?" We pray according to Your will, knowing that whatever You desire, It's going to happen. We say, well, if he's going to do whatever he wants to do, then why do we have to tell him to do what he wants to do? It goes back to that relationship. I found there's times with my own children where I know what they want. I've heard them talk in the other room. Boy, I'd really like some ice cream. And you know what? Sometimes I'll just pick up on that and just go get them some ice cream and surprise them. But sometimes I wait for them to ask me. Because I love it when they ask me. And then I can respond. I can say, sure. You know I love ice cream more than anyone in this house. Let's go. If we pray according to His will, if we get to know Him, if we spend time with our Father, then we begin to learn what He likes. We begin to learn His will. Our heartbeat begins to align with His, and we journey together. The verse continues, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now we tackled the first half of this several months ago when we talked about the one another's, and we talked about pray for one another and love one another and serve one another. And we said, confess your sins to one another. And I was really so surprised by this verse because I never really understood it quite the way I did once we studied it and looked at it, that there is power in confessing our sins. Confessing our sins to God, yes, but even to one another. They've done all sorts of research studies about guilt and stress and how, you know, people do bad things and then they're just overcome with guilt and they just want to tell somebody and get it off their chest. You know, we kind of use this expression, get it off our chest. And then we go, oh, that feels so much better. I'm not advocating like Catholic confession necessarily where you come to me in the middle of the week and I stand behind a box and you tell me all your deep, dark secrets and I say you're forgiven. That's not exactly what it means. But there is power in confession. And there's power in confession to one another. To hear another human being say, you are forgiven. By the power of God's word, as you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will cleanse you and purify from all unrighteousness. People are healed as a result of their confession. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Do you know any righteous people? There are a few people in my life, I just look to them as just godly, righteous people. And I want to say, pray for me. Pray for me. I have one friend who feels like I have like this secret passageway to God because I'm a pastor. And so, you know, like I've got this high-speed internet phone channel or whatever where my prayers just get to God a lot quicker. And so often, God, oh, hey, will you pray for me? Pastor, will you pray for me? Because, you know, like, your voice, it's louder than mine or something. And I want to say, that's not really true. You're a righteous man as well. You honor God. Tell him. I'll tell him. We'll agree together. We'll pray together. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Your prayers powerful and effective. It says the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Think about that for a second. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. See, God loves to hear His children talk. The rest of the world, not so much. I mean, it sounds odd to say. Now, a repentance prayer, God is very attuned to. But He knows His children. Look at this next verse. This is even harsher. John 9:31. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does His will. There's a relationship between our relationship with God and the way that He responds to us. In the same way that there's a relationship between my relationship with my kids and how I respond to them. Does that make sense? Kids, try this at home. Go home and be as rude and obnoxious to your parents. Sass back, be disrespectful, and then ask them to go out for ice cream. See what happens. Make a mess of your room, be a total slob everywhere, and then ask if you can have double allowance this week. I mean, you laugh because you go, that's ridiculous. But that's the way so often we treat God. We put him in a box. We don't even talk to him. We don't spend any time with him. And then, oh, we need something. And we go to him and say, please, please, please. Now, don't hear me. I'm not saying that we can manipulate God or we do these little tricks to win his favor. And then if I'm good enough, then he'll bless me with all kinds of stuff. I read the Bible today. Where's my raise at my job? But anyone that knows anything about relationships knows the way that they work. It's just a natural thing. Sometimes my kids will say, well, Dad, if I do X, Y, Z, then will you do? I'm like, just do it and then we'll talk. Don't tell me you're going to clean your room. Just clean it and then let's see what happens. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Continuing on, Elijah is definitely one of the role models, the heroes, if you will, of James. It says that Elijah was a man just like us. Now, do you feel like you're just like Elijah? Like, wait a second, Elijah was a prophet. I mean, he stood in front of these altars and fire came down from heaven and all this wild stuff happened. In fact, last I heard, he wasn't seen around these parts very much because he was like on some chariot flying up in the sky. Just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I don't know, have any of you like been in charge of the weather? Elijah, just like us. But if you read the whole story of Elijah, you know that after fire comes down and blows up this altar and wipes out all this water and such, couple verses over, here's Elijah, Mr. Coward, Mr. Running for his life, scaredy pants. It's like, what? Because he was just like us. Elijah was a man of prayer, and James was a man of prayer as well. It's known that they would call him camel knees because he spent so much time on his knees that there would be calluses that were developed on his knees. He'd walk around and be like, hey, camel knees. How about you? Anyone call you camel knees lately? Is your prayer life so intense and so vibrant, you spend so much time on your knees that it shows? It's been said of some of the great people of faith that you could go into their study or their prayer closet or whatever and just see the worn floor from where day after day after day they would kneel down in prayer. I wish I could tell you about my prayer closet and about my knees, but to be honest, this is an area where I'm still growing, where I'm still seeking to be more and more like Jesus, who spent hours and hours and hours in prayer. At one point, taking 40 days and just going on a prayer walk with the Lord. You know, I stand up here talking about prayer and I think, why don't I do it more? Why don't I do it more? We don't have time this morning to cover every dynamic of prayer. But if you get nothing else, I just want you to understand, God wants this relationship with us, and great things happen as we pray. Matthew Henry said, it's not enough to say a prayer, but we must pray in prayer. Thoughts must be fixed, desires must be firm and ardent, and grace is exercised. This instance of the power of prayer encourages every Christian to be earnest in prayer. And really, the favorite prayer quote that I found this week in doing some research, it says, everything in God's store is on the bottom shelf. You have to get on your knees to get it. Isn't that a great picture? Everything in God's store is on the bottom shelf. You have to get on your knees to get it. Well, James somewhat abruptly wraps up this whole passage. And he says, my brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Life's tough. We go through ebb and flow. We go through seasons of passionately following Jesus and then I don't know anybody that hasn't at least once in their lifetime kind of just stopped along the road and taken a picnic. Maybe backslid a little bit, kind of wandered away from their faith. Jesus tells the very beautiful and powerful story of the prodigal son who did more than just wander away. He basically left the father. And the story's the same. There's God there welcoming him with open arms. My son's come home. Friends, we need each other. And this is such a radical concept because we live in a world that says it's all about you and go for it. You don't need anybody else. The army of one, be all that you can be. But God has created us to need one another, to be interdependent, not independent, but interdependent. And the great thing about journeying together is inevitably we're going to get discouraged and we need someone to encourage us. We're going to get tired and we need someone to say, you can do it. It says, rejoice with those that rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And as I look around the room, we're a family. And families care for one another. Families encourage one another and strengthen one another. For some reason, I always think about the Ducks movie. Ducks fly together. We stay together. We fly together. We live life together. We journey together because inevitably we're going to need someone. We're going to need help. I help you. You help me. Together we run this thing. And there's nothing more beautiful than when someone wanders away and we say, hey, get back on track. It's all right. Come on. God's still here. I'm working with a friend right now who got off track and he's not a part of SIO, but I'm saying, come on, you can do it. The Father's waiting for you. He loves you. There's nothing more than he wants than hear your voice again. And of course, in the most significant way, if you have the opportunity to lead someone who's not a follower of Jesus to Christ, there's no greater joy. Absolutely no greater joy in life. Prayer is the primary work of God's people, as we've talked about and said in previous weeks with this beautiful picture of the praying mantis. It's the primary thing. It's what we are called to do. It's what life is all about, is a relationship with God. And it seems silly for me to stand up and talk about prayer without giving you an opportunity to pray. And we can talk, but like, let's put it into action. That's what this whole thing is about. And for the next 5 minutes or so, I'm going to play a song. It's not meant for you to necessarily listen to or read the lyrics to, though you can. But really, I just want to give you some time and space right now just to pray. So however you want to do that, if you want to kneel, if you want to sit, if you want to close your eyes, if you want to keep them open, if you want to stand and go for a walk, it just seems like this would be a great time for us to pray. So with that note, let's pray. As individuals, but I want to encourage you also, as we are a family, that together there are so many ways that we can participate in prayer. Beginning in January with Radical Experiment, we're going to pray for the world, the entire world, and take a different nation each day, and there'll be resources available for that. I'm excited about just learning together about our globe and the different needs that different nations have and being able to share and even pray together. In your bulletin, there's a number of prayer gatherings that happen throughout the week, some here and some elsewhere. It's a great opportunity just to join other people in prayer. And sometimes my image, at least, of prayer meeting is like some boring, dull thing where I fold my hands and close my eyes and try to stay awake. But prayer is so much more than just that we can sing and we can celebrate. We can keep our eyes open. We can pray in the car. We can pray through email and send messages. You can journal your prayers. One of the things that's really helped me in the last 10 or 20 years is just actually writing out my prayers. Keeps me on track. Keeps me focused. I just journal and I say, Father, and I just pour out my heart to God. The whole range of emotions, whatever's on your heart, doubt, fear, joy, thanksgiving, confession, praise, whatever it is. I pray that we would be a people of prayer. Jesus said that the temple would be a house of prayer. And that everything we do here would be vertical. Be recognizing that God is with us. That's what we celebrate this season. Emmanuel, God is with us. That we can pray. We can talk with Him. We can know our Creator God. What an awesome thought. First Work is back, and Kim Dolan and others are making that possible. Each week in the Style Soul, learn about different people to pray for and needs and opportunities. Let's be people of prayer. That's what God wants us to be. So now, I would like to invite you to stand. The final words of that song that we heard say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus' followers, they came to Jesus. They said, teach us to pray. How do we do this thing? And I think most of you know it. Know His response if you don't listen to someone next to you. But I'm going to invite you even to take the hand of someone next to you. We don't do this on a regular basis. But if you would just grab the hand of the person next to you. Because Jesus did not say to pray, my Father. He said, our Father. And I'm even going to take these hands here. So let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May God richly bless you as you go to serve Him and love Him and know Him. If you would like prayer, please come up front. The elders are going to join me, and we'd love to pray for you. The rest of you have a terrific week, and we will see you really soon. God bless.